two-wheel faith. This has been the theme of our preaching series and our worship series for the past several weeks. And many of you have shared with me how deeply you have enjoyed this and the things that you have learned and gotten out of this series, where we're taking principles from motorcycle riding and juxtaposing them with scripture and doing this in a fun yet practical way. We began 5 weeks ago with target fixation. This was the principle that you go in the direction you're looking. So keep your eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. Then we talked about the wave, and that despite our diversity, we have a built-in need for community in order to be the body of Christ. On week three, we explored baggage, how we all have baggage, some good, some bad, and we must carefully choose what we carry with us. Next, we talked about AT-GAT, which is an acronym for all the gear, all the time. And this was about us wearing the armor of God to be better prepared and protected, not to just survive in this life, but to thrive in a life spent following Jesus. And then last week, we discovered the principles of counter-steering, that when we know what we're doing, we can experience a better, safer, faster, and more enjoyable ride. And that's important because when we follow Christ, it's often countercultural. And when we embrace this way to follow Christ, then we can actually be better at life. And if you missed any of those weeks, I invite you to go back and listen to them or watch them on our webpage, fumcmh.org, or on our YouTube or Facebook, or listen to them on our Apple Podcasts. But I believe that they will not only give you something to think about, but they will help you on your faith journey. And today, we conclude the series with wind therapy, of how we can all find rejuvenating ways to experience God. And in doing this, we have two scripture readings today. The first one is out of Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and the second one is out of Psalms 104, verses 1 through 4. And so I'll give you a second to turn there, but beginning in Genesis chapter 1, just hearing verses 1 and 2, many of you probably even have this memorized. It says, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. And then turning to Psalm 104, hearing verses 1 through 4, it says, let my whole being bless the Lord. Lord, my God, how fantastic you are. You are clothed in glory and grandeur. You wear light like a robe. You open the skies like a curtain. You build your lofty house on the waters, and you make the clouds your chariot, going around on the wings of the wind. And you make the winds your messengers, and you make fire and flame your ministers. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these holy words today, may your wind, your breath, your spirit be upon us, and may our souls be set aflame with the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hard to fight in the streets of stone. Like something never saw before, their jaws dropped into the floor.
Now, in case you weren't aware, a lot of these are more than just music intros. I have to give credit to Laura Law, our communications director. She does an amazing job of picking this music and editing it out and combining it. There's actually videos that go along with this. So I encourage you to check out our Facebook page or check out online. We'll have her post those videos so you can see each one and how it relates to the week. But people ask me, why do you ride? Well, there's lots of reasons, I guess. I grew up riding bicycles and motorcycles, and for me, there's something about the thrill of being near to flight. The adrenaline of maneuvering a machine over the land and across the terrain, and the connection between my physical body and nature around me with the motorcycle that connects it all together. Dave Karlotsky described it in his essay, The Season of the Bike, in a beautiful way, and I want to read you a few excerpts from it. It says, a motorcycle is not just a two-wheeled car. The difference between driving a car and climbing onto a motorcycle is the difference between watching TV and actually living your life. We spend all of our time sealed in boxes, and cars are just the rolling boxes that shuffle us languidly from home box to work box to store box and back. The whole time entombed in stale air, temperature regulated, sound insulated, and smelling of carpets. Yeah. On a motorcycle, I know I'm alive. And when I ride, even the familiar seems strange and glorious. The air has weight and sustenance as I push through it, and it touches. Its touch is as intimate as water is to a swimmer. I feel the cool wells of air that pool under trees and the warm spokes of sunlight that fall through them. I can see everything in a sweeping 360 degrees up, down, and all around, wider than Panavision and higher than IMAX and unrestricted by ceiling or dashboard. Sometimes I even hear music. I hear whole songs, rock and roll, dark orchestras, women's voices, all hidden in the air and released by speed. And smells become uncannily vivid. All the individual tree smells and flower smells and grass smells flit by like chemical notes in a great plant symphony. And a ride, oh, it can border on the rapturous. The sheer volume and variety of stimuli is like a bath for my nervous system, an electrical message for my brain, massage for my brain, and a systems check for my soul. It tears smiles out of me. Where a minute ago I was dour and depressed, apathetic and numb, but now on two wheels, big, ragged, windy smiles flap against the side of my face, billowing out of me like air from a decompressing plane. Transportation is only a secondary function. It's a conduit of grace. It's a catalyst for bonding the gritty and the holy. And this is the essence of what we encounter in Genesis chapter 1. In those opening verses, God, our holy creator, was present over the waters of the deep, dark sea. And the Holy One exists right there in the midst of the gritty, chaos, and void. God's wind was there. You know, in the ancient Hebrew language, the word wind is ruach. And that same word means wind, breeze, spirit, or breath. And some say that Yahweh, you know, the Tetragrammaton, that the four letters used to spell the ancient name of God, YHWH, that that's really the sound of us breathing in and out. That Yahweh is really Yahweh as we inhale and exhale the breath of God that gives us life. So God's spirit, God's breath, God's wind hovered over the waters as a conduit of grace for God to speak into the darkness and create light. God's Holy Spirit was present as God breathed and spoke to the gritty, deep darkness by creating light. And God spoke to the gritty, formless void by bringing chaos into order. And then later, God's own breath filled our lungs and gave us life. The psalmist captures the splendor of it all in Psalm 104 when he says, "Let my whole being bless the Lord. Lord my God, how fantastic you are. You are clothed in glory and grandeur. You wear light like a robe. And you make the clouds your chariot, going around on the wings of the wind. And you make the winds your messengers, and you make fire and flame your ministers." You know, I love this image of how God is captured as God riding a chariot of clouds on the wings of the wind. And then the wind becomes God's messengers. What a vivid image. Through that wind, we can experience the presence of God. And this resonates with me. And maybe it does with you, because when I ride, I feel the wind blowing all over me, and suddenly all my stresses, all my worries, they all just begin to melt away. And I'm no longer worried about being the good husband or a good son or the good pastor or the good friend. I'm just me. Me and creation and God. And through the wind rushing around me and flowing over me, I feel connected to God and God's creation. And it stirs my soul. It gives me a sense of rest, and it replenishes my joy. Maybe you have a way where you have a form of wind therapy, a place where you can expect connection with God. Some of you may ride, and you may call it your wind therapy as well, or maybe you've got river therapy or water therapy. Some of you may call it hunting or hiking or fishing or crafting, or maybe it's something else. And it's something that connects us with God. It's not a replacement for community worship, but it's a beautiful and glorious supplement. It's like taking vitamins or medicine with your meal. Sometimes it's easiest just to find that experience of God right outside our front door, on the porch or in the back patio, sitting there staring at the trees. You know, it's there that we encounter the evidence of God in creation all around us. That when the wind blows, the trees sing their praises to God through the rustling of their leaves. And we can hear and feel the breath of God being breathed upon us. So, next time you're outside, I want you to stop and notice the trees for a moment. And then pick one that gets your attention. Look at it closely and notice its bark. Notice its leaves and its twigs and its branches and its trunk. Notice its knots and its scars and how God has healed it and grown it over time. And ask yourself, is this tree that got your attention a metaphor for your own life? Oh, yeah. But when you think about it, what does that tree do? It's simply a tree. Sometimes it produces seeds or offers shade, but really, it's not doing anything but being a tree. It's not trying to be a bird or a dog or some kind of tree person.
It's not trying to be anything than what it already is. But a tree. That's how God created it. And God cares for it. And upon looking at it, you see God's fingerprints all over it. And there's a sense of God's presence right there within that tree. Just by simply being what it is. A tree.
Thomas Merton once said, "Learn from the tree. Don't try to become a tree. Don't try to be anyone or anything else. But be who you are. A human being. Created in God's image, beautiful and loved just as you are." And as you sit there and meditate on you being you and nothing else and no one else, know that God is right there with you, healing your wounds, growing you upwards, and strengthening your very being. God's breath fills your lungs with every breath you take, inhaling and exhaling. Way. And you experience God. You know, in 1 Kings 19, there's a story of the great, powerful prophet Elijah, who is out running around and searching and looking for God. And he doesn't find God in the crazy or the chaos. He doesn't find God in the storm or the fire or the earthquake. No, instead he finds God in the still, quiet place. And it's there that he hears God. And there are places that we each experience God. This is what I call wind therapy. Holy Spirit therapy. But you don't have to ride a motorcycle to experience God. You don't have to be out on a boat or on the river to experience God. You don't have to even be on your porch or back patio to experience God, because you can experience God right here, right now. God is here. And in a moment, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion, and you'll have the opportunity to experience the spiritual and physical presence of Christ with us. But when we do, when you're invited to come and receive this Holy Communion, I invite you to come and to let it be a conduit of grace to your soul. But however it is that you experience God, know that God is already right there, inviting you into God's presence, pouring out God's grace, and leading you every moment to be more complete in God's love. Amen.